Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are back for a new Colt Schnero chat, and I'm excited for this one. We're going to have a good show today. I'm Jeremy. I'm joined by Robbie, and we are going to be talking as much as we can over as many angles as we can cover. We're going to be discussing Atletico Madrid's 1-0 loss to Manchester City on Tuesday night. No shortage of things to discuss from this game, Robbie, even though Atletico did very little from an attacking point of view, which I think we're going to have a pretty spirited debate about that. I think you and I will have some diverging opinions. Let's start with your general thoughts on the game, as we usually do.
Yeah, I thought that, well, hello, Jeremy, to start with.
hello, but, Robbie.
We haven't spoken about which side of the fence each of us falls on, so I don't really know what your take on it was. But my general opinion was that Simeone set out to do what we saw him doing, and I think they did it well for 60 minutes, and then Pep Guardiola brought his reinforcements off the bench, and they changed the game. And I thought there was a lot of kind of, to be honest with you, like, I fall on one side of the fence in terms of, I think Atletico didn't do enough, and I thought that I'm not entirely sure that this is it's not as much a philosophical choice or a tactical choice as it is desperation. Just batten down the hatches and hope for the best. I don't know if it's as much a tactical decision as it is just limit risk I struggle to defend that, to be honest with you, because I just think that Atletico need to be doing more in games like that. They have a squad that can compete, and I don't know what kind of message that sends to players long term, insofar as, does Simeone trust them? Does he think that they have what it takes to beat them? Now, I also understand from the point of view that Man City are one of the most awesome teams that have ever been assembled. They are ruthless if you give them an inch, and you have to try to limit that. But at the same time, you can't just, or I feel as though you can't just sit back and play the way that Atletico did when you want to be considered one of the best teams in Europe. And but having said that, they executed quite well. I understand it's not as simple as just sitting back. It takes effort, it takes excellence to do that for 70 minutes, and I can see why Simeone did it. I just don't know if that's the route that Atletico should be taking, given the ability in the squad.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. I totally understand that argument. It's one I saw much worse on Twitter yesterday. I'll say that about it. You know, I saw much worse and less rational than what you just said. From my vantage point, I think Atletico were excellent on Tuesday. I think they played a great game. And what was most important, in my estimation, was that after conceding, they didn't let it get worse. Like, they make the mistake. Simeone made a mistake with his substitutions. Lodi and Reynaldo made another, and Atleti lost the game. Like, the margins are just razor thin against a team as ruthless and as talented and as deep as Manchester City. But the fact that they didn't let it get worse to 2-0 or 3-0 or decide to go, you know, balls to the wall, so to speak, and end up losing 5-1, the fact that this is still just a one-goal tie, that is, in a sense, encouraging to Simeone. I think that is... He didn't go to the Etihad with the goal of losing. He went to the Etihad with the goal of keeping this tie manageable for the second leg at the Wanda Metropolitano next week. And I think that that's what he did. Atleti did something yesterday, Robbie, that I have never seen before in a game at this level, in a game in this, the two teams as competitive as this. Atleti played in a 5-5 formation. Again, I've never seen this before. I didn't really think it was coming. I knew Simeone would have something planned to try to nullify and negate all of City's options and weapons. You mentioned it a bit in your answer to the first question about your general observations, but what did you think of the 5-5 formation? How surprising was it? How shocking was it? And overall, what grade would you give it in terms of execution?
Yeah, like, as I said earlier, it makes sense. If you're going to play like that, you have to... You almost have to go and completely like do it right or don't do it at all, because kind of one of these half-hearted efforts results in City just completely dominating you, right, and losing 5-0 or something like that. You either go toe-to-toe with them, which is what Jurgen Klopp does, or you sit back and play the way that Atletico did, because any of this kind of half-baked stuff, Pep Guardiola will just eat you alive.
Right.
And I think that in that sense, no, they did well and all that, but I just... Look, I can understand that I just can't understand football the way that it's played like that. Even the language around it, they didn't let it get worse. They you know, and I understand too that it's a two-legged tie, and we really probably maybe should hold our judgment until the second leg and see what Atletico have up their sleeve. But at the same time, to not get a shot on target or off target in 90 minutes of football with 200 million players and talent all around the field, Marcos Llorente, you're the reigning La Liga champions and you can't get a shot. Like, look, I understand that Pep Guardiola has revolutionised football. He has a team built of just pure superstars. Very expensive squad to assemble, but to think that they can't get a shot away with 200 million euro strikers, Marcos Llorente, one of the best footballers in Spain, and internationals throughout the squad, one of the best goalkeepers in the world, you can't even get a shot on or off target. Look, I understand why he did it, but to me that's just not acceptable as far as I'm concerned, because the problem is all this is moral victories. Every single year it's like, oh, they kept the score down, they didn't let it get out of control, they did well and they fought till the end. Like, there's no redeeming. What's the next stage here? What is the next step? Because there doesn't seem to be one. And if anything, Atletico have actually... We've talked endlessly about Atletico's evolution, their evolution. They're actually devolving into something far more afraid than they ever were. At least the old Atletico really, really did hit you on the counter and you had to be afraid of that. In this game, João Félix and Griezmann were so far away from their own goal that they had absolutely no chance of threatening Ederson or even putting the backline under pressure. And listen, we will hold judgment until the second leg, but I just fear that this is going to be another year of a respectable failure. And Atletico have been knocked out of La Liga, or knocked out, they're not in the running for La Liga since probably November.
November, yeah.
They scraped through the group. They beat Manchester United, poor Manchester United side, and now they're going down without even landing a blow against City. And okay, there's a second leg to come, but what are we doing here? You know?
Well, yeah, and there was a second like to come, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show, but I definitely understand what you're saying, right? And the idea of a respectable failure, that stings. That would... this is an Atleti team that has faced a lot of respectable failures in the Champions League over the years, including getting ever so close to winning the trophy twice in a span of 3 years earlier in Cholo's tenure. But I think a question that I had to ask myself yesterday while watching this, and I wonder if you asked the same thing, Atleti are capable of going out and generating like 2.1 XG at Manchester City. And there were transition opportunities. There were spaces in transition either side of halftime and early in both the first and second halves. But just because Atleti are capable of doing it, is that the best way to win? And that's the question I think Simeone asked himself. He came up with a very resolute answer. And that's what I am continuing to ask myself. Yes, Atleti played in this 5-5 formation that Kevin De Bruyne said he'd never seen before. And Pep Guardiola, I wouldn't say he was apoplectic, but he said after the game, like, throughout history, it is difficult to score in a five attackers against five defenders. Simeone came up with one answer. I'm not really sure where I land. I kind of side a bit more with the coach, I suppose, because Atleti are still in this tie. Just because the attack is capable of doing something doesn't always necessarily line up with that being the best way to win. Sure, Atletico could have gone toe-to-toe with City. It probably would have ended with a multi-goal defeat.
But this is it. So when you ask that question, is Atletico, is this the best way to win? For Diego Simeone, it absolutely is, because And this is what comes down to the authenticity of tactics and having to needing to find a style that suits you, and that's why Arsene Wenger was asked in an interview in the Guardian a couple of years ago, does every manager need to have a philosophy? And I think, and he said yes, absolutely, because it has to come back to why are we doing this? Why are we? And we won't get too deep into this, but like, why are we here? Why are we even alive and breathing? Why? What is our purpose? Is it to take a chance and have a go, or is it to just survive and to eke out a result? I mean, and I know that that's kind of, we could spend another 3 or 4 podcasts talking about that, but like, Simeone understands football in the sense that it might not be pretty, it doesn't have to be, but I get results, and his biggest fear, Diego Simeone's biggest fear, is being naive, and that is for him the cardinal sin. For some managers, the cardinal sin is not trying or not having a go, not going toe to toe, stuff like that. For Simeone, the cardinal sin for him is being mugged off because he got idealistic about what he feels like Atletico Madrid is. So he went and just battened down the hatches last night, and I can completely understand that. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, because there's being an idealist and being like Paco Gemes, for example, that didn't work out too well for him, and it hasn't been working out too well for him. But like, there is a grey area between the two, but at the same time, that's based off squad limitations and a kind of more pragmatic approach. But at the end of the day, I feel as though this Atletico Madrid squad, just last summer we were talking about them winning multiple La Ligas. We were talking about them dominating Spanish football and possibly having a go. And now we're looking at this last night where, barring a miracle, Atletico Madrid aren't going through. Man City probably going to score again, because Atletico have to go for it. I wouldn't be betting on Manchester City not scoring. And then you're looking at Atletico having to score 3 goals against Man City.
Need to score 2 to 4 extra time and 3 to win outright. Yeah.
So, but like, at the same time, I mean, it could happen and it might happen. But at the end of the day, I just feel like... we are going to be left a little bit, feeling a little bit hard done by at the end of the season, thinking, is that it? Like, I mean, another moral victory with a team worth hundreds of millions of euro. Because, like, I'll be honest with you. Now, I understand Rayo Vallecano play attacking football anyway, so it would be weird if this happened. But if Rayo Vallecano somehow magically managed to find themselves in Europe, the quarterfinal of a Champions League, and they went out and played like that, and they didn't get one single shot on target, I'd be criticising them, let alone Atletico Madrid, who are supposed to be eating at the same table as Man City. And again, I understand why Simeone did it. I can see the reasoning behind it, but at the same time, I feel like you have to be a little bit more adventurous, and at least challenge Ederson once or twice. Mm-hmm. You know, play a number nine and hoof the ball up to him or something. I don't know what it would be, but I just feel like we've been shortchanged again, and we're going to be left thinking, oh, if only Foden didn't pass. Oh, if only. It's just the small margins and all that. Yeah, but like, look, Man City absolutely dominated that game. And De Bruyne laughed after, and he was like, look, he said, it's really hard to score against them. They sat back and like they just completely closed off everything. But they were patient. And I don't really, as far as I could see, I just don't see the point in being that defensive with a team filled with that much, with as much talent as Atletico Madrid have.
Simeone practically telegraphed this on Monday, saying that City have better players than Atletico do. They have more money than Atletico do, but it's two games. Anything can happen over two games. And I think we said this on the last show when we were previewing the first leg of this tie, is that in a 38-game league season, there are no frauds, right? You practically are what you are after 38 games when you play every other team twice. In the Champions League, a competition that is a third of that length, and you only play teams twice in the knockout stage, home and away legs, like, strange things can happen, and that's what Cholo is betting on in the second leg, when it will be more open, because Atletico will have absolutely no choice. They will have to go for it at some point in that second leg, as they could have done in the first leg. And I think, as I said earlier, there were opportunities, there were spaces in transition, because City were playing so high up the pitch. Like, they were just stacking the deck on both wings. They were having four, five, six, even six attackers going up to try to challenge Atletico's defensive line and trying to generate this numerical superiority. And Atletico did so well managing that for 70 minutes until Reinildo steps out of line. He doesn't even step all the way out. He tries to win the ball off Foden. Foden just tricks it past him, and there you go. There's your goal from De Bruyne, a great finish. You wrote in your column before this game, Robbie, that Atletico had been preparing for this game for weeks. And I thought that was a really interesting point, how the possession stats had been slowly declining, as you wrote, down to 36%, 30%. Atleti were around 30% at the Etihad on Tuesday. And I have some stats for you, my favorite. Stats from @Atletico_stats. A Man City side that had been averaging, I think this is the in all competitions, that have been averaging at home this season 2.7 expected goals per 90, 6 shots on goal per 90, nearly 4 big chances and 41 touches in the area per 90. Here's what Atletico did to them on Tuesday. Conceded once, 2 shots on target, both from De Bruyne, 1 big chance and 23 touches in the area compared to 41 on average. So the plan worked, and I think you can understandably fault Simeone and Atletico for not showing a little bit more ambition, especially when the game was still goalless, when I think City, to some degree and some element, were there for the taking. Leaving it all for the second leg is a big risk. And I think the most likely scenario is still that Atletico do go out next week, because you just look at the difference in resources available, the difference in talent between the two squads. But Simeone's tactics are giving Atleti at least some chance, and I think that to me is the big takeaway from this game, is how a team that could not defend worth anything earlier this season has now, in a span of 6 weeks, shown fresh commitment, new vigor, new passion. And if not for a couple mistakes that most teams would not penalize, this would be goalless going back to the Wanda. But is it better to be down 1-0 or goalless entering the second leg? I don't know the answer to that.
I suppose goalless, just given the fact that you don't have to, you then have options at your disposal in the second leg, and you can decide what you want to do, whether you want to start fast and things like that. And I must say, actually, also, like, Atletico kind of played well in the last half an hour. I thought they kind of had a go at it. No, they again didn't even get a shot on target.
Right.
But I think they did play a little bit better. And like when you're saying there about how this would be nil all. Like the problem with how they played as well is that you're asking and you're saying that there was chances in transition. There were in theory, I guess, but like. Llorente was going to have to run 60 yards. Griezmann, a couple of times, got the ball in transition. And it was like, I think Thomas Lemar took off one time in transition. And I was like, A, there was nobody with him. And B, he was absolutely exhausted by the time he got the goals. And they had just converged around him. So, in theory, right, okay, maybe there was options in transition. But in reality, Pep Guardiola had them snuffed out completely. I just think maybe it is a good thing that Atletico are goal down now, and they have to come out and play.
They have to come
out and played. And sorry, just on the substitutions then, they were so exhausted that then you had to bring in the players to replace Llorente. Well, he's on a yellow, so they took him off, I'd imagine, just to kind of make sure he doesn't miss the second game. Someone has decided to start drilling underneath
There's a video that just started auto-playing as you were talking. Incredible timing.
No, it wasn't a video. It was actually someone drilling something. It's like... Yeah, I don't know what it was, but they were just exhausted. Llorente and I'm not sure who else came off, but it was
Llorente coming off on the hour for Cunha, which was surprising initially. But yeah, then I remembered he's on a yellow card, and that was a smart change. Correa for Griezmann is pretty much like for like. Griezmann had done a lot of running, and he was one of those who had that opportunity in transition in space early second half, but just missed the final pass because he'd already done so much mental and physical work. The sub that really I think was harmful was Koke coming out for DePaul. And I got to tell you, Robbie, I am considerably less impressed with Rodrigo DePaul the longer this season goes on. We've talked a bit about trying to contextualize some of his struggles this season. The fact that Atletico's midfield has not been properly balanced for most of this season hasn't helped him at all. It hasn't helped him get settled. He looks uncomfortable. I think he's overcompensating for a lack of comfort and lack of confidence by being overly aggressive. The foul on Grealish that led to a yellow card, like, what are you doing? Come on, play ball. I think that we've had, maybe two or three good DePaul performances in this season. This was the marquee signing last summer. This was the most expensive signing in La Liga last summer when Atletico bought him from Udinese. And I've seen a lot of talk and not much performance to back it up. I'm telling you, I would like to see another year of DePaul with a little more structure in midfield around him, but he has really failed to impress me.
Yeah, and I wonder, is that down to the fact that he doesn't fit in with what Atletico are trying to do, and he's kind of seeing himself dropping down the pecking order? And like you said, he comes on, tries to overcompensate then with like I think he's the kind of guy who needs confrontation. He needs to get hit a couple of times in order to feel part of the game and get into the rhythm. And I think that it just turns into kind of him mouthing off, and you know, and some guys are amazing at that, just talking their way through the game, like and keeping it right, the level just right, by doing that, it has an effect on everyone around them, but they're keeping their focus is good, and it takes a pretty special ability to be able to do that without losing the cool yourself. But I think Rodrigo sometimes ends up kind of spilling over a little bit, and that's just on another point on that. I think it might be down to the fact that he doesn't really fit into what Simeone is doing, because he's neither a central midfielder, nor is he. Yeah, he's not. He's not. he's not the kind of rhythm guy that Simeone needs from a number five or a number six, and neither is he as powerful and as aggressive running straight in a straight line as Marcos Llorente. So he's kind of caught in between the two. His ideal position would be pushed a little bit further forward and having the ability to arrive late and maybe as like a free eight or something like that. And I just wonder, like, let's assume here that players are picking the club based solely on their ability to A, play nice football, and B, win. Who is watching this Atletico Madrid team thinking, oh yeah, I'd love to, like, what, sorry, what upgrade, what am I trying to say? What upgrade, like what players that Atletico Madrid, what players that would upgrade Atletico Madrid's squad are sitting at home thinking, yes, I want to be a part of this. Like, I mean,
I think specifically, you know, what think kind this, of attackers, what forwards or attacking midfielders are watching this game and saying, I want to play there? Is that the point you're trying to make?
Okay, maybe there's hundreds of attacking midfielders who are sitting at home saying they want to play for Atletico Madrid, but they're not good enough. So like, I mean, what players that would upgrade the squad is what I mean. Are sitting at home watching this and, like, I mean, you know, and Joao Felix has conformed and he has got a run and he's done quite well, but at the same time, do you honestly think he wouldn't prefer to be playing for Man City or like someone and where his skills can shine every single game? I just think that I don't know what the answer to that is, but I just wonder, like, oh, sorry, and that's the other thing. What how do the players feel about playing like this? Is this basically Simeone saying, you have absolutely no faith in us? Mm. Like, you've none. If you want to play like this, playing Antoine Griezmann as a right back, playing Joao Felix tucked in as like a defensive right midfielder or whatever position he was in, is that like basically telling the players that, look, I don't really believe that we can beat this Man City side, you know, and I just wonder what kind of erosive effect that has on a team. If you win, everything's fine, let's keep going. But when you lose, it's kind of like in the summer, you're sitting there thinking, is this worth it? Like,
I think it's an interesting point, and it raises questions about the club's branding, the club's brand power, and the strength of its name and its commercial impact. Like, Atletico do not have the commercial impact that other Spanish clubs like Madrid and Barcelona, for example, have, and it is unfairly or otherwise, I think we can partially attribute it to the perceived playing style. Because, yeah, like, potential sponsors and players watch this game, and they think one thing, like, they think one way about Simeone and Cholismo and the way Atletico play, and it's a style that is certainly not for everyone. And I think if the players had a serious problem with this, the plan would not have been executed nearly as well as it was. Like, Sam Leverage wrote in his excellent column this morning about Atletico's defense and how a defense with three guys who couldn't get a start earlier this season at a €3 million January transfer more or less shut City down for 70 minutes of this game. And I think if there was, and Joao Felix made 5 interceptions yesterday, I thought, according to Who Scored, I thought Joao played a wonderful game, a lot of commitment, and we know Griezmann is a guy who loves to do this running. But yeah, I think you raise an interesting point about what a result like this and a performance like this does for potential players you're trying to sign, potential sponsors. Maybe it has a significant impact, maybe it doesn't. Maybe those are backroom negotiations that we're not usually privy to. And I was going to make another point, but I can feel it just slowly, it's loosening from my grasp. It's just slowly sliding away from me. But, you know, I think, okay, I remember it now. If there were serious, like, problems about this wouldn't have been a seriously committed defensive performance if at least that's my theory anyway, if anyone had any qualms with how Atletico were going to play. Simeone said, basically, this is how we're going to play on Monday. And everyone in the world, practically, based on Cholo's CV, his track record, that Atletico were going to do something like this on Tuesday. And lo and behold, they did. It didn't quite get the intended result. And you talked about the moral victory aspect of it earlier. And that is true. This is definitely a moral victory. But we're only at halftime in the tie. And I think Atletico will play a bit differently at home next week when we can then finally make a full judgment on this tie and on this season. But I think more importantly, Atleti showed a commitment and a passion and a fire yesterday that had been missing, especially defensively, for so much of this season. They've conceded 37 goals in La Liga, which is just unheard of under Cholo. And you know, a guy like Felipe comes back into the team and makes 10 clearances in place of Jose Jimenez. Felipe's played 12 minutes in the past month. He comes in and plays a great game on Tuesday. And I think that's also something Cholo is going to take with him, is that there is finally some defensive solidity, and it's something to build on for this summer and for next season. Because something else I realized while watching this is, my God, they need to sign another center back, at least one, probably two. I'd say definitely two.
Yeah, I think the squad does need significant investment, and I do think that given the fact that Man City are funded by a state,
yeah,
that's
also like, a factor in this.
There definitely is a difference in quality in both squads, but I don't think it's enough to merit sitting that deep and not getting a shot on or off target. I probably contradict myself here in that, like, I think it was Thomas Tuchel was asked a question when he was the PSG manager about signings, and he said basically, look, there's loads of players out there that are excellent, but there are very, very few players that would upgrade our squad. So you have to, there's only... You can spend all the money in the world, and that's fine. But Aymeric Laporte, for example, did that interview with Sid Lowe in the Guardian, and he was saying it's the level here is unbelievable from both sides, and I think it's like, and it is these fine margins in many ways, but like, we look at the amount of money that Man City spent, and it is a lot. But it's not proportional to how much better they are than Atletico Madrid, if that makes sense. Like, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
Look, there is a difference in quality and that, but Manchester City will embarrass a lot of teams. They already have done it this year under Pep in the Premier League and in the Champions League, and they'll continue to do so given how strong they are. But again, I just think that it's not... I don't think it merits sitting that deep and being that defensive.
I think that's fair enough. Another element to this is that the away goals rule is gone. And with the away goals not really meaning anything anymore, why on earth would Atleti have done anything different than they did yesterday? Like, why would you sell out to get an away goal only to have City come back and put two or three on you and pretty much take you out of the return leg entirely?
No, that's very true as well, and maybe Atletico will come out and play a different style and shut me up in the second leg, and I do, yeah, that makes complete sense, and I do get Simeone's and at the end of the day, we're talking about the professionalism of Atletico Madrid and how good they were in what they were asked to do it, and I did think they executed it very well, and I did think that I didn't agree with it. I thought that they did execute it really well. And it just shows that Simeone is still, and always will have, that massive respect at Atletico Madrid, what he's done for the club. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's up to him. He gets to decide what way they play, given how he took Atletico from a mid-table team to where we're talking about them right now, where it would be a travesty if they missed out on the Champions League, where it would be a travesty if they didn't just miss out on the Champions League, but if they didn't make it into the last 16, it would be seen as a failure. Like, what he's done is just incredible, and I think he'll always hold that respect as a manager and as a And as especially for Atletico Madrid, now maybe if you go somewhere else, you might have to earn that respect again. But at Atletico, it's there, and it's pretty much set in stone now. Mm-hmm. And the players obviously do still trust him completely. Which would have been the recent run of results would have definitely helped him sell his game plan and sell it. And I think that none of the players are in any doubt either that what they did, if they went out and played like that against Porto, maybe a few of the players might like raise a few questions. But I think against City, it made sense. And it wouldn't have been that hard to sell to the players.
And they're still alive in this tie at the one and the second leg at the Wanda next Wednesday. But before that, Robbie, Atleti have an island trip to make on Saturday afternoon against an ice-cold Mallorca team. So we're going to switch gears and preview that game now. Mallorca, Robbie, they're not in good shape. They are in the drop zone. They have just changed coaches. They've lost 7 in a row, haven't scored in 3. What has been going on with them?
Yeah, I just think that they're struggling with quality, and they recently changed their manager, and I think that they're mired in a relegation battle right now, and just things aren't going their way, and they're struggling massively.
Yeah, 7 consecutive losses. They haven't scored in 5 of the last 6. They've got 3 goals in the past 6. All of them came in one game, and ultimately a 4-3 loss to Celta. Who do you think ultimately gets relegated, apropos of nothing?
Well, I'd say Levante are gone. I think Alaves are gone. And I would say... Granada are struggling. I really hope Raya don't go down. But, I would say... Looking at it, probably Mallorca, given how good how much improved Cadiz are recently. Maybe Granada, yeah. Mallorca.
I'd be worried for Granada, too. I think Alaves, Mallorca, Granada are the 3 that are ultimately going to go down. Levante are going to find some way to stay up because you can't kill them. They're unkillable. And they're playing better recently with 8 games to go. They're still in the drop zone, but they finally moved off bottom place, which Alaves are in now. But as for Mallorca, a lot of expectation around them this season. They came back up from Segunda. They had a pretty exciting summer window, bringing in Fernandinho from Villarreal, Take Kubo from Real Madrid, both on loan. And they were doing decently enough up until about 7 weeks ago, and they have not won any of the past 7. And they're catching an Atletico team that is unbeaten, or that was unbeaten in 8, that is still on a 6-game winning streak in La Liga. Do you expect Simeone to liberally rotate for this game?
Yeah, I'd say he's going to have to. And given the fact that Man City play Liverpool at the weekend, so they're going to be exhausted, you would hope, and Atletico will rest all their players and come out with a... and try to hurt City early on next week.
Yeah, another element to this Atletico City second leg is that City have a, on paper at least, considerably tougher game this weekend. Liverpool and City can just kill each other, while Atletico get to go to Mallorca and rotate and at least feasibly rest some of these players who've been playing excessive minutes, some of these guys who figure to feature prominently next Saturday. I would expect Yannick Carrasco to start. I would expect Angel Correa to start. Mario Hermoso, Luis Suarez might get starts. Like, yeah, why not, right? This is the perfect game for Suarez to start because he didn't play on Tuesday.
Yeah, and Rodrigo De Paul, for example, probably get a start. And I think that it will give them a chance maybe to prove that they're worth a goal. Acuna will probably start. Like, yep. They're probably worth it. And it'll give them a chance to fight for a place next Wednesday. And also, they should definitely have enough to beat Mallorca. Like, that's still a very, very good team you just named out. It wasn't the full team, but 7 players you named out.
They should still have enough to beat Mallorca, even with the team likely to be chopped and changed. Acuna scored the last time Atleti played Mallorca. And we'll see if he does so again on Saturday. And that is an earlier than usual kickoff. Atleti have been playing a lot of late games lately, like 9 o'clock local time. This will be, 4 o'clock, 4:15 kickoff. So, yeah, for me, it'll be a 7:15 kickoff. So early riser on Saturday. I got to go to sleep early Friday.
Yeah. An early start on the island.
Yeah, among the perils of following a Spanish football club from America is that sometimes you have to get up at ungodly hours to watch them.
Yeah, but I've got the same with the Chicago Bulls and Bears, man.
So oh, yeah. That's true. Chicago guy.
It's just, woe is me during the NFL season.
What are your thoughts on the Bulls right now, man?
Yeah, they're really struggling at the moment. I don't know. Like, I mean, you look at the way that they're playing, and Billy Donovan is an excellent coach, and I think he's the right man for the job. But he's going to turn it around. But I just feel like that kind of hero ball with DeMar DeRozan just it just doesn't work. And you look at the way that some of the other teams are playing, and yeah, I just don't think it's really all that. It's not a very modern approach.
Yeah, they were playing a lot better earlier this season than they are now. They were top of the Eastern Conference for a while, but the Heat and the Celtics, the Bucks have all passed them, and I think those are all better teams than the Bulls.
Yeah, yeah, and they've got some nice players, and they've got a nice base now with LaVine, Vucevic. Pat Williams is good. I just think that, they're not going to do anything even if they make the play in this season.
Hey, it's still probably more fun than what the Bears are going to do this coming season, right?
Yeah, the Bears are in tank mode, I think. Mm-hmm. It looks like, which is kind of sad because I was all excited when they drafted Justin Fields, but oh man, I'm starting to worry now that he mightn't be the answer. And just like, I lived in Chicago for years, and my first ever game was in Soldier Field was I went to see the Chicago Bears versus the Philadelphia Eagles in 2005. Mm. When Terrell Owens, Bears haven't had a quarterback in my lifetime. I remember.
No, they haven't, have they?
I was living in Chicago when they traded for Jay Cutler, and I was like, oh my god, this is it. But that was just really, really disappointing him. And yeah, it's absolutely depressing watching Aaron Rodgers, because he's just so good with the Packers, and like they moved from Favre to him, and it's just like how do you do that? Like,
that's 30 years of quarterbacking.
1985.
Yeah,
man, Rex Grossman, Kyle Orton. Oh man,
put some respect on Grossman's name. He led you to the Super Bowl.
Sexy Rexy.
Sexy. Put some respect. That is right. That was his nickname. My God.
Team.
All right, man. Well, on that note, I think we have just about exhausted our resources on this edition of Cold Chinero Chat. Robbie, thank you so much for hopping on the show today.
No worries, man. I'll chat to you at the weekend.
Always a pleasure. We will be chatting this weekend about Atleti's island trip to face Mallorca, and we will also be talking a little bit more about and previewing the second leg of the Champions League quarterfinal tie with Man City. Thank you all for listening and for your continued support. Reminder, you can follow us on social media and keep up with our latest content on IntoTheCalderon.com. We also have a Patreon page with exclusive audio goodies and other programming, patreon.com/ColChinerochat. Finally, make sure you subscribe to the Atletico Madrid Podcast Network on Spotify, where you can get access to all recent episodes of this program, ColChinerochat, and our sister show, the Partido a Partido podcast. We'll talk to you all next time. Adios.